The Lord is good
all the time.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
On behalf of our church family here in Newport-on-Tay, Church of Scotland, I would like to welcome all of you who are here this morning. Welcome especially to those who are worshiping with us for the first time. I can't spot any. Or those who are doing so after a long while. And a very warm welcome to our brothers and sisters who are following this service or are in worship with us on Zoom online, and those who will be listening to our worship service afterwards from the church's website. The intimations are printed out on the order of service in your hands, and there are a number of things to note. Material for the May edition of our church journal should be in the hands of Claire by today, and that includes a message from the minister. We have Holy Communion next Sunday, and I'm sure that you would have received communion cards from the elders. And if you know any member of the church who is not able to come and would be happy to receive communion, please let us know, and we'll think of ways of ministering to them. Let us now take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. And our first theme, Rejoice, the Lord is King, is number 449.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today as your people, drawn by your voice and gathered by your care. You are our shepherd, not distant but present, not silent but speaking, not indifferent but full of grace and truth. In a world of many voices, you are the one who calls us by name. You lead, you guide, you watch over us, and so we come to worship you with thankful hearts. Yet as we come, we recognize how often we fail to listen. Merciful God, we confess that we have not always followed your voice. We have listened to voices that lead us away from you, voices of fear, pride, and self-reliance. We've trusted in ourselves more than in your care. We have gone our own way and neglected your ways of truth, justice, and love. We confess the ways we have hurt others, the ways we have remained silent when we should have spoken, and the ways we have turned away when you were calling us. Forgive us, we pray, free us from all that binds us within, from fear, from guilt, from those mind-forged chains that keep us from living fully in your grace. In your mercy, call us again, speak your word of forgiveness over us, restore us, renew us, and lead us back into the fullness of life, the life you offer, through Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, who taught us to pray, always saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. 5-3-1. Thank you. Good morning, children. Please, can you come forward? Just come up here. Come up here for a minute. Come up. Come up to the altar. Come. Come, let's light this candle together. Come. This is a candle, okay? So what do with candles?
Light them.
We light them. Why do we light candles? When we light candles in a dark room, what happens?
It gets light.
So when we light candles or a candle in a dark room, it gets light. So, but this room is not dark. Why are we lighting this candle? Now, this candle represents all of us who are here. And the reason I will light the candle is because we want to say that there is a lot of darkness in the world. So many terrible things are going on in the world. And we want to say that this is part of the darkness of life. So when we light this candle, we are lighting it so that it should bring light to a dark world. Okay? So I'll do that because today I have been taught there is a lighter which I will spare you the trouble of doing that. See whether I'll get that right. Oh. Try again, Amos. Good, I got it. Can you clap for me? All right, you can now go down. How are you all this morning? You are good. Sure you like the weather, but the sun seems to be going away again. Did you have a good week? You had a good week. What have you been doing this week? What have you been doing this week? Playing? Yes, you're off school. You went for a walk. Oh, that's good.
We went for a cycle when we were on at a holiday house.
Oh, did you cycle yourself?
I'm pretty sure we went near Loch Tay.
Near Loch Tay. Okay. That's a good one.
And so, we went camping and it was still snowy and it was March.
Oh. Next time when you are going, take me with you, okay? So this morning, we are back to church, and in our children's address, I want to start again with a question. Have you ever found yourself in a place which is so noisy? I mean, everybody's just talking, and you can't hear anything. Just so noisy, maybe in the park, in the school, or even at home. Have you ever been in that kind of place? So much noise. You can't hear anything. Just noise. You haven't? You sure? Have you been to concerts or to a cinema? Or to a football pitch? To games? When they score a goal, the way people shout, it's like getting right into your ears and you can't hear anything. But let me ask further, even if you have never been, if your mom or your dad were to stand outside and call your name, would you recognize their voice? Would you? I'm sure you would. Because the people we are close to and the people who know us and whom we know, sometimes we can recognize the way they talk, their voices. In the Bible, Jesus says that he is a shepherd and that we are his sheep. And he says that the sheep hear his voice. We know that sheep are not really independent. They rely so much on those who tend them. And so they can understand the voice of the shepherd. And so what Jesus is saying is that those who follow him, like you and myself, he speaks to us and we can understand or we can hear him and recognize his voice. He's saying so because there are so many voices in the world. There are voices which say to you are not good enough, that you are not bright in school, you are not beautiful, you are not handsome. that you have to be mean to be seen. So many voices. But Jesus says that his children, his followers, they hear his voice and they follow him. And you know, one of the things I'm so happy about is that you come to church and you sit here to listen to me. And you go to Sunday school and you listen to your teachers. That is one of the ways you have listened to the voice of Jesus. He calls you, he calls all of us to follow him. And what Jesus says is that you are enough, that you are good, you are beautiful, you have all the qualities and the values of a good child, that you are smart. And what Jesus' voice also calls us to do is to be kind, to love one another, to do the things that help us, our friends, to support our friends, especially when we see that they are struggling. So Jesus says that he is the good shepherd and the sheep hear his voice. Will you continue to come to Sunday school? Yes, because by doing that, you are listening to God's voice or to the voice of the shepherd. Will you continue to be a good child? When mom says, don't do this, you know that you are not supposed to do it. When mom says, go to bed, for example, because you need sleep, you go to bed. When mom says, get off those gadgets, you will keep them down because it is good for you. That is still the way the voice of the good shepherd comes to us. And so when we hear, let us be willing to do what Jesus tells us to do. Let's pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for our children, and we thank you for their faith. As young as they are, we are grateful that you open their minds to your word. Grant them your grace, O God, that as they grow in the faith, they will continue to listen to your voice and to do what is right and pleasing in your sight and in the sight of people. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We will sing again the Lord's My Shepherd. It's hymn number 14, not 16, number 14.
The first reading this morning from the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 34, reading from verse 11 to 16. This can be found on page 865 of the Pew Bible and on the overhead. Shepherds and sheep. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. The second reading is from the New Testament. John chapter 10, reading from verse 11 to 16, page 1076. In the Pew Bible. The shepherd and his flock. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Amen. And may the Lord bless to us these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn is 458, At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the midst of many voices, quiet our hearts so we may hear yours. Open our ears, not just to recognize your word, but to receive it and follow. Where we are distracted, make us attentive. Where we are guarded, make us willing. Where we are weary or burdened by other voices, speak your truth and with clarity. As we hear your word, lead us into life, real, steady, and rooted in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear friends of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to reflect with you this morning on the theme, recognizing the shepherd's voice in a noisy world. Recognizing the shepherd's voice in a noisy world. There is an old story told of a visitor to the Scottish Highlands who once watched a shepherd at work. Curious, he tried calling the sheep himself, waving his arms and mimicking what he had seen. The sheep barely lifted their heads. But when the shepherd called, just a quiet, familiar sound, the entire flock stared, gathered, and followed him without hesitation. The visitor laughed and said, "They don't seem very clever." But the shepherd replied, "No, maybe not, but they know who they belong to." That simple exchange captures something at the heart of John's words in John chapter 10. Because when Jesus speaks about sheep and shepherds, he is not giving us a farming lesson. He's revealing something about identity, belonging, and trust. To understand what he's saying, we must remember where this moment sits in the story. John 10 follows directly after John 9, where Jesus heals a man born blind. That healing was not just a miracle of sight, it was a moment of transformation. A man who had lived in darkness suddenly sees, not only physically, but spiritually. Yet, rather than celebration, the response from the religious leaders is suspicion, interrogation, and rejection. It is a striking contrast. The man who was blind now sees clearly, while those who claim to see are revealed to be blind in heart. And it is into that tension that Jesus begins to speak about shepherds. For those listening in the first century, the image would have been immediate and familiar. Shepherds were woven into the fabric of everyday life. More than that, they were a powerful symbol in Scripture. Jesus Christ himself is described in Psalm 23 as a shepherd, guiding and caring for his people. Kings and leaders were also called shepherds, entrusted with the responsibility of protecting and leading the flock. Yet the history of Israel told a painful story. Those entrusted to care for the people often failed them. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God speaks sharply against these leaders, accusing them of feeding themselves instead of the flock, of neglecting the weak, and allowing the people to be scattered and vulnerable. The imagery is not gentle. It is a picture of abandonment. And yet, within that judgment, there is promise. God declares that he himself will step in. He will search for his sheep. He will gather them, heal them, and lead them to good pasture. And then almost mysteriously, he promises that he will place over them one shepherd, a servant from the line of David. So when Jesus stands before the people and says, "I am the good shepherd," he is not simply offering comfort. He's making a claim that would have been impossible to ignore. He's saying that in him, God has come to shepherd his people, and that he himself is the promised king who will lead them rightly. Friends, this brings us to a truth we often find uncomfortable. It is easy to speak about Jesus as the shepherd. It is much harder to accept what that makes us. Because if he is the shepherd, then we are the sheep. And sheep, as we know, are not known for independence or wisdom. They are dependent creatures. They need guidance. They need protection. They need someone to lead them to what is good. Jesus Christ begins by describing how sheep relate to their shepherd. They know his voice. In the ancient world, it was common for several flocks to be kept together in a shared enclosure overnight. In the morning, each shepherd will call out, and his sheep would recognize his voice and follow him. He would not drive them from behind. He would lead them from the front. This image speaks deeply into our lives today. To hear the shepherd's voice is not simply to register sound. It is to recognize, to trust, and respond. It is to allow that voice to shape the direction of our lives. In a place like Scotland, or in Western Europe, where the Christian faith has shaped culture for generations, it is possible to hear scripture often and remain unchanged. We may be familiar with the language, the rhythms of worship, even the stories themselves, yet familiarity is not the same as following. We live in a crowded soundscape. Some voices tell us our value must be earned. Others keep us anxious about what's next. Some accuse us when we fall short. In all that noise, the shepherd's voice is easy to miss, not because it is weak, but because it speaks differently. It does not pressure or shame. It tells the truth, and it does so with grace. Hearing that voice is not automatic. It takes attention, openness, and a willingness to respond. It is possible to spend years around Scripture and still miss what it is saying. The real loss is not lack of access, but lack of response. Jesus then shifts from recognition to protection. The shepherd is not like a hired hand who leaves when things turn dangerous. He stays. More than that, he gives his life. For his first listeners, this would have sounded extreme. Shepherds might risk themselves, but this is something else. Jesus is pointing ahead to the cross, where care becomes sacrifice. He also names the threat. He speaks of forces that steal and destroy. The language can feel distant until we recognize it in ourselves. Thoughts arrive uninvited, stirring fear, resentment, or despair. Failure starts to feel like identity. The struggle is not only around us, but within us. William Blake captured this in his image of mind-forged manacles, chains not imposed from outside but formed from within. It still fits. Much of what binds us now is internal, pressure, comparison, quiet self-contempt. Jesus Christ does not promise to remove that struggle. He answers it with truth. We are known. We are loved. Our worth is not decided by our worst moments. We are not left alone to fight what we face. The shepherd does not eliminate every threat, but he does not abandon his sheep to them either. From there, Jesus speaks about life, and he uses a word people often misunderstand, abundance. He calls himself the gate, a place of safety and nourishment. This is not about ease or success. It is about a different kind of fullness, one that comes from being rooted in him. And dear friends, that matters now. Because many people are busy but feel empty, connected but still alone, always moving but never settled. The life Jesus describes is not found in more activity or achievement. It is found in staying close to Him, being present, and responding to His lead. It is the difference between passing time and actually living. Not a life without difficulty, but a life with direction. And he ends with unity. There are other sheep, he says, and they will be brought in. One flock, one shepherd. For his audience, that broke assumptions about who belongs. For us, it still does. In a world shaped by division, this is a different kind of community, not built on similarity, but on him. That unity is grounded in sacrifice. He gives his life not as a symbol, but as a rescue. And those who follow him are bound together by that act, not perfectly, but genuinely. We are called to live that out in how we treat one another. The hymn, "The Lord's My Shepherd," comes from the 1650 Scottish Psalter prepared by the Church of Scotland. Rather than the work of a single author, it reflects the shared effort of a community seeking to express Scripture in a clear and enduring way. Their purpose was not to create something on it, but to ensure that ordinary people could learn, remember, and live out the words of Psalm 23 in everyday life. And over time, that is exactly what happened. Those words have been sung in moments of national significance and in the quietest corners of personal grief. They were sung at the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. They have been sung at bedsides, at gravesites, and in small congregations week by week. Not because they are sentimental, but because they are steady, because they tell the truth plainly. "The Lord's my shepherd, I will not want." This is not just poetry. It is trust, learned and held on to over time. There is a reason those words endure. They are not loud. They are not complicated, but they hold when other voices press in, fear, grief, uncertainty. They remind us that there is one voice that does not waver, "The Lord's my shepherd." Not one voice among many, but the one who leads. Not distant, but present. Not uncertain, but faithful. And that is where Jesus brings us. So what does this mean, or does it mean now to live under this shepherd? It means learning to recognize his voice and choosing it over loud ones. It means trusting his care in both the pressures around us and the struggles within us. It means receiving the life he offers as something real now, not just promised later. And it means living as part of a people shaped by his sacrifice. It also means accepting something we often resist. We are not self-sufficient. We are not meant to carry life on our own. We need a shepherd. And the quiet strength of that old hymn reminds us that we are not left to find one for ourselves. The claim at the center of this passage is simple, but it asks everything. We have a shepherd, not distant or different, but one who knows us, calls us by name, and stays with us and gives himself for us. In a moment like ours, that is not a small comfort. It is a decisive truth. "The Lord's my shepherd." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word spoken to us today. In the midst of many voices, help us to recognize yours. Give us hearts that are willing to listen and lives that are ready to follow. Where we are uncertain, guide us. Where we are burdened, strengthen us. Where we are tempted to go our own way, call us back to you. Keep us close to you, our good shepherd, and lead us into the life you promise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We worship God singing "Now Thank We All Our God." It's number 182. Please be seated. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Faithful God, all that we have comes from you, our time, our gifts, our resources, our lives. As we bring these offerings before you, we do so in gratitude and trust. Receive them, we pray, and use them for your work in the world. May they help to care for your people, to reach those who feel lost or forgotten, and to make known the voice of Christ in a noisy world. Take what we offer and make it part of your purposes. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us intercede. Let us pray for ourselves and for the world. Loving God, shepherd of your people, we bring before you the needs of your church, your world, and all who are in trouble or need. We pray for your church throughout the world, that it may listen for your voice above all others, that it may be faithful in witness, gentle in care, and bold in truth. Strengthen your people where they are weary. Guide your leaders with wisdom, and unite your flock under one shepherd. We pray for our country, for those who lead and govern, for all who make decisions that shape the lives of others. Grant them humility, integrity, and a desire for justice. In times of uncertainty and division, bring wisdom, patience, and a commitment to the common good. We pray for our world, for places marked by conflict, suffering, and fear, for those who live with war, displacement, and loss, for communities burdened by poverty or injustice. Bring your peace where there is violence, your provision where there is need, and your hope where despair has taken hold. We pray for those who struggle in the quieter battles of life, those weighed down by anxiety, grief, loneliness, or sickness, those who feel overwhelmed, unseen, or unheard, those facing illness, loss, or uncertainty about the future. In a moment of silence, we bring before you those known to us. Good Shepherd, draw near to each one. Speak your word of comfort. Lead them through dark valleys and remind them that they are not alone. And for ourselves, help us to recognize your voice more clearly, to trust you more deeply, and to follow you more faithfully. We offer all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn is 459, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.